I believe that there's something distinct about the Quebec culture. Its history of education is different, its institutions are different, its political context, these sort of things, which might give us also a slightly different home education movement.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Christine Brabant. I'm a mom, first of all, of two children, 10 and 5, and I'm a student. I study at the University of Sherbrooke in the Faculty of Education, and I'm doing a PhD on home education in Quebec.
So home education in Quebec, let's talk a bit about how that looks, and is it something new, or is it a trend that's been around for a while?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't really know. The homeschooling associations or pioneers tend to say that it's a movement that's younger in Quebec than in the other provinces of Canada or the States, but the Ministry of Education has not collected data on home education before, let's say, 2-3 years ago. So while we could have a profile of homeschooling in Canada through the other provinces and their data, there was no numbers for Quebec. So maybe it was there, maybe it wasn't, we don't really know. The way it goes now is it feels new for everybody, which is to say that both the authorities and the parents are learning to deal with each other, I would say. That's my impression anyway, because the law is there, the law is clear, saying that home education is a possibility of exemption from compulsory school attendance, as long as there's an equivalent educational experience offered for the children at home. But then for the interpretation of that law and its enforcement, quote-unquote, that's where adjustment has to take place, and it's not there yet, I think. I believe that there's something distinct about the Quebec culture. Its history of education is different, its institutions are different, its political context, these sort of things, which might give us also a slightly different home education movement in Quebec. That's my first proposition, and then I go on studying Quebec. I might find out that it's actually the same as the results found in other studies in Canada, but I thought it would be interesting to look into that gap into this particular province.
I'm wondering who homeschools in Quebec. Who are the kind of people so far that you've studied? Like,
from what I observe, it's more or less the same kind of jungle in Quebec. If you want to answer the question, who homeschools? Mm-hmm. You know, it's some religious trends, some pedagogical trends, new age trends, all kinds of different families. Some for whom transportation would be a problem because they live in rural areas. On that level, actually, my MA thesis, which was on motivations of parents, showed very similar motivations. Where the results were different were in the order of these motivations. We broke it down to 7 factors of motivation, of choice for home educating, and where in the States and Canada, religious factors seem to always come first or second. Mm-hmm. In my research, they came 6th, I think. So that might be a difference. Mind you, these studies are hard to call representative. You cannot really, because it's always free participation and you don't reach everyone.
And what would you say was one of the main reasons?
The first reason presented was a family project, which is a broad term we used for a few separate motivations that came together as a strong factor. And it's about living tighter family relationships and learning together. The idea of being really excited to learn, to see the children learn, to have the parents go on discoveries and field trips and together. This idea really of the family being a very, very important unit for the education of children. I hadn't seen that as strongly and conceptually strong in any other studies before. You see, that's one thing I might be looking further in for the PhD, because what I had read before, of course, yes, the family idea was there, but I don't know if it's an idea of keeping the family intact and together that Quebecers express, or an idea of the importance of family in education, in instruction, and the process of learning. I don't know. I see slight difference between the two, but I need them to help me, to help me better understand. Even in Europe, you know, the idea of family as an intermediate or a strong actor in education is coming up. There's Mr. Beck, Christian Beck, in Norway, who's elaborated this idea that between the state and the children, there's this community and these families that have to be strong actors in the education of the people. And I think there's something new there, because for the last 2-3 centuries, children have been seen as in relation to the state for their education, that one generation would not educate the next generation, the state would, or they would do it through the state. And now the idea of family and community seems like something emergent.
So how is it viewed, though? How is home education viewed in Quebec? Are people comfortable with it, the general public?
It's evolving quickly, probably on a similar path as it has done in the rest of Canada or the States, but probably a bit faster because of the fact that the practice is normalized and recognized on the continent. A lot of parents have said that 20 years ago they had weird comments, weird faces when they mentioned home education, but it's changing, and not that it's completely reversed now, but it is changing. There are even school directors or people working in school boards who are actually encouraging and will offer help to home educators and, you know, even congratulate them for their choice. There's that. There's also still the opposite reaction. People threatening parents that if they don't conform to some expectations, the Child Protection Service will go and take them away, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is still tense, I would say, but it's evolving into a mutual understanding.
Let's move on to more about your work.
Mm-hmm.
You did say you were going to be studying citizenship.
Two things brought me into that direction of studying citizenship education in the context of home education. First, there's in the literature on home education, the critiques about socialization are still there, but now not so much on the individual development, but on the social development, meaning that if groups homeschool, if families homeschool and don't get the general culture of the state, don't get taught about democracy or sharing ideas, that the country might, you know, suffer from it. It is that kind of critique that is there in the recent literature. And I was wondering how we could address that as educationalists, trying to escape or to sort out the moral issues, because it comes down to that, moral, religious, or ethical issues. Mm-hmm. And I was very preoccupied by that. On the other hand, there is this new subject in most Western countries' school curricula, which is called citizenship education. You have it in England, in Canada, or at least in Quebec that I know of. In other countries, because UNESCO has recently recommended that it be there. And the reason for that is that there's the observation that people noticed that the societies are more and more pluralistic. There's a pluralism of values, of religions, of beliefs. They're pluri-ethnical. There's this multiculturalism. And it seems like society is more and more fragmented. So a report from the UNESCO said that schools should not only give instruction anymore and teach attitudes for professional careers, but teach children how to live together. The living together part is citizenship education, how to deal with differences and debate and democracy. It's really become something important. And for example, the very recent education reform in Quebec. While my director is doing research on citizenship education with high school teachers to help them understand what it means in high schools to offer citizenship education, I came up with the idea that doing such a research with home educators would maybe offer some answers to the critiques that I read through the States and also enrich the teacher's research, you know, on that concept of how does a child become a citizen, how can educators, be them parents or school teachers, how can that generation and these educators think of the society that they are in and that the children will be in, these kinds of issues. I find that really, really interesting to question the project, the society project that we have in mind when we home educated.
You know, some people might argue that there are families that home educate because they don't want their children to be in contact with other cultures, or is that true? But I guess one maybe define maybe what is the citizen?
I would say that I think school teachers are not so clear about it either. Like in our program, our curriculum, it says that school teachers should help the children develop a civic consciousness. But what is a civic consciousness? I think these questions are really adult questions. And we're a bit in a hurry to offer that to children, but we don't really know what we want to offer because we ourselves as adults are really puzzled by this multicultural society and pluralistic, and we see tensions and conflicts every day on the papers about different cultures conflicting and issues of democracy, of minority rights. And I think home educators are a group that have very strong ideas about society, about education. You know, they're very strong citizens themselves because they have strong enough ideas to live with being marginal. That takes some strength. So I think it's really interesting to hear their voices. Personally, I think schools do their best. I have been a school teacher, and so is my husband right now. And parents do their best, too. I home educate my children now, too. It's all adults doing their best, the best they can for the children that they have the responsibility of. But I'm really less at ease when you want to impose your ideas on your neighbor's children, you know, and I feel that's what school do sometimes, at least when children are not put there in a voluntary way by their parents, because we know that many parents are really happy to send their children to school and they feel very at ease with what is taught there. But from the moment they have a different vision of society or of education, it needs to be expressed, and if the neighbor doesn't agree, it should be sorted out between, you know, between the two families, I mean, between the adults. They could discuss it. They could have an arena for discussion, for democratic debate between adults. From the minute you say, well, I disagree with my neighbor, but I want him sent to the same school as mine, and I want my ideas taught there, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that yet. Maybe someone will convince me one day. There's this whole security discourse, you know, that is there, but it hasn't convinced me yet.
Louis Riel. Louis Riel. Who the hell was Louis Riel? Elser, who came home each night smoking a Camel filtered, dreaming about the three-piece bedroom set on special at IKEA, fitting into a home of her own one day. That's Louis Riel. All right, Louis, go! Go away, Louis! Go, 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 go! Go, 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 go! Go, Louis, go! Louis Riel was a copy shop copy boy, so tired of photocopying other people's shit. I mean, he wanted to be an artist. He wanted to do his own work for a change. You know what I mean? This day, Louis Riel would proclaim a holiday. This day, Louis Riel would burn all payback slips, mortgages, loans, and bills. This day, Louis Riel would charge for no coffee, no bratwurst, no pizza, no photocopying, no tune-up.
No, no tune-up!
No.
Come on.
This day, Louis Riel, right up in history books. This day, Louis Riel would spell out the block letters. This day, Louis Riel would interrupt every dinky ball game. This day, Louis Riel would live. This day, Louis Riel would call freedom. Louis Riel, I'm your baby now. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Yeah, what you gonna do, Louis? Dankeschön, thank you very much.
Merci, thank you.
Rhythm activism all the way from Montreal. To Guy Boulanger up there on the sound, Wilf on the drums, Luc Bonin on the bass, Rose on the t-shirt and CD, Sylvain Cote on guitar, Norm Nevratsky with the big mouth. Dankeschön, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, thank you very, very much.
I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
The work that you meant to discuss, your topic.
Children's rights and other normative instruments like the Canadian Charter of Rights or laws, provincial laws, are regularly put forward either to encourage home education or to contest it. These normative instruments are actually sometimes conflictual because they don't regulate the same level of behavior, I'd say. Like, children rights are a very large statement of principles, while the law, the Quebec law on home education, is much more practical. But sometimes they tend to conflict and they're not that precise. So what I realized with the help of my co-director, who's a philosopher in Belgium, philosopher of law, and last week in Nova Scotia, the Trudeau Foundation's discussion groups on human rights confirmed that analysis, is that these large normative instruments are not that helpful when it comes to emergent practices or experimental practices like home education. There comes a point where, in some gray zones, you need really to work on ethics. You need to learn to work on sorting out values, sorting out ideas, but from the bottom up, not from laws down. I sort of skip over that now, you know, thinking that it's not from trying to work out these laws. Actually, I would be really bad at it because I'm not a lawyer. I know that other home education researchers work on the analysis of laws and are going to try and make them more precise and make them evolve. But I realize that from my point of view and my abilities, it would be very interesting to make a collaborative studies with home educators, so that they could express their own ethical preoccupations. I don't think home educators do what they do without any concerns, without any social concerns or ethical concerns towards their children. I have noticed and I have heard and read all the work in their conscience, all the work they've done, they do regularly to sort out, is that good, is that bad, is that the best thing I could do? Especially when they start, you know, the first years are very difficult in that sense. From that point of view, the theoretical framework of my co-director, Marc Mescalque, in Belgium, is that the real actors and their context and their networks of cooperation will inform the law or will inform the government of their own system, their own realm of values, of limits and strengths. Because as I'm saying, the home educators have made their opinion, and I'm sure that they have their own limits in themselves, like of what's best and what's not. Rather than trying to regulate them, we could see how they regulate themselves. That's my ethical framework right now, to work from the bottom up and have parents inform authorities on what is citizenship education in the context of home education.
Two more questions, with just some...
Sure.
Well, is homeschooling perceived as a threat to public education? Is it a threat?
Yes. When I was a school teacher in private school at some point, we had a big conference, and the first speech that was given by not the Ministry of Education, but the person just working with him, you know, in his speech, he said, you know, we have to work really hard to make private education and public education good, because do you know that there's how many, I don't remember how much he said, and I don't know where he would have taken his numbers, but he said there's that many families home educating now. And wow, my arms fell, you know, beside my body, and I said, oh, they're aware of home education, and they see it as something, as a challenge for keeping children in school, private or public. But yes, there is, in all the debate in the States that I read a lot about, because that's where it's the most animate, there is this idea that home education is threatening the public system, is weakening the public system, is even dismantling the public system. Sometimes it can be taken as a compliment, because they literally say that the best parents and the best children are exiting the system, mm-hmm. and that's why it's weakening it. But sometimes it is also expressed as a reproach that home educators are failing their duty to participate in offering education to every citizen, to the poorest ones, to the families that have less resources. I find all these questions really interesting to discuss over, you know. I think we, as home educators, we cannot say that every critique expressed against home educating is just bad or stupid. Or
yeah.
It is good to ask yourself, what do you think of the issue, and to see how do we participate in society. I have my own answers, but my opinions are constantly evolving mm-hmm. through reading and discussing with parents. But for now, I would say that personally, I believe that parenting is the first and greatest citizen act. And doing it well is already a great commitment. I think any committed mother is one of the most important citizens, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily whether you home educate your children or you send them to school, you can still be a good or a bad parent or a good or a bad citizen. I mean, some parents who send their children to school might not be very good citizens if they don't engage in themselves in the education of children, and mm-hmm. they don't help schools, you know, they don't participate with the teachers and all. That engagement, that commitment to educating your own children, I think is already a very great commitment. Now, when it comes to committing to help other children, committing to the public system or engaging in sharing your children with the community, mm-hmm. because that's what it comes down to, if it's true that we are the best parents and the best children and we have to share in these institutions, mm-hmm. that makes me a little uncomfortable mm-hmm. because up to now I've been thinking that even though I feel a lot for children who are less privileged, I am very willing to offer my money so that they get better resources and teachers. I'm very willing, and we do so, we still pay our taxes. I am willing to give even my time and energy. For example, I've been a teacher. My husband still teaches in high schools, and I think he does a great job in inspiring teenagers there. That kind of participation, I think, is a duty. But I'm not willing to compromise my child's development for another child. I think that's demanding too much from a child and from a parent, to say I'll send my child in school and she will be bored. I'm saying that because my child is very quick in school. She'll be angry and not like to learn anymore. She'll be beaten up, or, you know, that's too much to ask. So I prefer that every child gets the best. And if we could have schools where there's one teacher for six children, or three, or, you know, better resources, that I really agree with that. And I'm willing to give my time, my money, to give my energy, but not to impose on my children's development, because they will become great citizens, and they will help in turn.
If the schools could be returned to the community, in fact, not even be regulated by government, community members could have more control, and maybe that would be a solution to, or some, a compromise, or some kind of in-between thing for homeschooling and education, I don't know.
That's a very hard question. I think it is a tendency right now with all the movement of privatization, private schools, charter schools, alternative schools, and I've heard that it's very much there in Canada, but in Quebec also, that I see more closely. There's a decentralization of powers in the school boards. Every school has more of a leeway to define their own educational project. There's an encouragement for parents to come on a different level of committees and boards to participate in the school's projects. So definitely, it seems like a general assumption now that it would be better if communities and parents had more of an implication in school, yes. And it's also a major preoccupation from school teachers and directors to create stronger bonds between school and family, school and community. There is difficulty there. It's not that easy, probably because of the history, you know, that schools have pushed parents away, you know, have taken themselves apart from communities to be this high and respected place of knowledge and of professionalism in education. But the movement is going the reverse way right now, and maybe through time there will be this better balance and communication and relationship between professionals and citizens or families.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.